Hey everyone, this is Achyut Dibhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we're going to spend a little bit more time talking about Venus moving through the opposition with Uranus. This is Venus in Scorpio moving through the opposition with Uranus in Taurus. I made a kind of fun talk today called 10 stories that I've heard 10 times or more about Venus and Uranus. The reason that I thought this would be fun is that over the years, I've spoken with a lot of people, probably at least 3, 4, 5 times a month. I speak with someone who's got Uranus making some kind of hard aspect to Venus in their natal chart. And I just sat down and I started thinking of all the things that I've heard, you know, probably more times than I can count, more than 10 times for sure. And I put them into 10 different categories. So this should give you an idea today about the different kinds of some of the most common stories that I've seen or heard about Venus-Uranus transits. And maybe that gives you some sense of what you can expect today as Venus-Uranus is still perfecting. I'll pull it up on the real-time clock. We'll take a look. Before I dive in, as you guys know, I'm in the midst of promoting right now for my upcoming program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, starts on November 13th. It's coming up soon. We're having more people register every day. Really excited to have a new cohort forming. And let's see, here is the first year course page. You go to my website, nightlightastrology.com, go into the courses tab, click on the first year course. You can scroll down and learn all about the course. One of the, I would say, main features of this program, people always ask, you know, well, I know a little bit about signs, planets, houses, aspects. I don't want to go back over the basics. This is not, it's very different when you study Hellenistic astrology, because what you're doing is you're getting down to the underlying philosophical and metaphysical rationale. Where did houses come from? What astronomy led people, ancient mystics, to think of something like a house or like a sign? And what do the planets have to do with both of them? Ancient astrology is like a mandala. It's a beautiful tapestry with interconnected logic and rationale and philosophy connecting all levels and layers of the theory. And when you have that underlying when you're exposed to that underlying framework, your ability to combine planets, signs, houses, aspects, and to interpret them in birth charts, it just grows exponentially. There's nothing that has impacted my practice of astrology more positively than studying Hellenistic astrology. In the course of, we also invite clients in. So by the end of the program, we're studying this like ancient karmic science, which is very predictive in nature. We're learning how to be more specific about the things that we can say, predict, and describe about a birth chart. And we're also learning why we do this. What is the underlying meaning or reason for doing astrology in our lives? How does it help us spiritually? What did ancient mystics say about this? And then bringing it forward, we have clients in at the end of the program, and I read charts for them using the techniques and philosophy and so forth that we studied in the program. At that point, you get to see it in action. And then, you know, we workshop and break down those sessions so that you can understand all the craft elements that go into organizing and doing an actual reading from the Hellenistic standpoint. So it's a great program. There's 30 classes on the year. It's held by live webinars. You can follow along at your own pace if you can't attend them live on Saturdays. There are tons of additional bonus materials from quizzes and optional reading and guest lectures that come in outside of class, breakout study sessions that we have that are there to help you if you need tutoring. We also have a staff of tutors that help me, and we have a discussion forum. You can talk to me year round about questions that you have about the program or anything that we're studying. So yeah, it's a great program. Check it out. If you have any questions, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. Otherwise, go to the website and check it out on the first year course page. You can use the early bird payment right now and save $500 off. That's a good deal. There's a payment plan. There's also need-based tuition for people who might be experiencing financial hardship or who are on a real tight or fixed budget. That's you, you know, take a look at that. We like to make sure that if you have a desire to study astrology, that we try to make sure there's a price point available for, you know, where everybody's at. So you can check that out. And if you qualify, you know, like some of our qualifications would be like, you've lost your job due to COVID, or you're only part-time employed at the moment. Maybe you're a single mom, or you're in school, or you're on disability income, or retired and on a fixed income, or something like that. So you can look through the list and see if you qualify, and feel free to check that out. So anyway, hope to see some of you guys in class soon. The new cohort is, I think my 23rd program going through. So it is, it's been, I think at this point, somewhere over 3,000 students that have taken the program, and looking forward to going through with a new group. All right. So let's take a look at the real-time clock and dive back into Venus opposite Uranus for today. Here is the real-time clock, and you can see that Venus in Scorpio is opposing Uranus in Taurus. It's just passed through the opposition last night into today, and you're going to see the opposition continue really all the way through probably Saturday, maybe even Sunday. You're going to see about a 3-degree range of separation where you can still feel the effects. So that's really probably into Saturday night, but you could even feel it maybe into Sunday. So today, what we're going to do is take a look at that. Now, tomorrow, we're going to return to Mercury square to Pluto part two, because we're kind of the Venus transit is a little bit shorter. And so we're just hitting that back-to-back days. We got like another good week and a half worth of Mercury square to Pluto, even more actually than that with the retrograde. So Mercury's also squaring Pluto, turning retrograde, going to go back through a square to Pluto. We'll be visiting that again tomorrow. So a lot of big astrology this week. Let's keep going with Venus opposite Uranus. These are 10 stories that I've heard at least 10 times or more about Uranus transits to natal Venus. And so what we can extract from that is that when Venus is opposing Uranus in the sky, that it would not be surprising to see some of these exact same stories repeating themselves. Now, of course, this is a list of 10 that I came up with, 10 categories, 10 types of stories that I've heard at least 10 times or more about these transits, but there's probably lots more. So here is, and these are in no particular order, by the way, they're just as I was kind of meditating on them. So the first one that I think is actually very, it's a quintessential Venus Uranus, flash in the pan romantic connections. Okay, but they serve a purpose, which means typically like a Venus Uranus dynamic comes along, you meet someone, it's flashy, it's different, it stands out, it might be very combustible, I guess is the word. Maybe it's like the chemical rush of a one night stand kind of feeling, even if it lasts for like a few weeks. But it typically doesn't last. It's like sparkly, flash in the pan, comes quickly, goes quickly, but it serves a purpose of some kind. So these types of romantic connections I have noticed often come in between relationships, or they serve to help someone get out of a relationship that they should no longer be in, or they come along to show someone, give someone a message, or like teach a lesson of some kind. For example, I've seen many people tell stories about learning how important fidelity and faithfulness is because of an affair that happens under a Uranus-Venus, a Venus-Uranus transit. Uranus to natal Venus is what I'm used to, obviously, working on birth charts. And so, or I've heard stories about people who are in between relationships and they think, oh, I found the next person. Well, actually, it's a rebound, but it got you back on your feet. And, you know, it kind of helped you get beyond the previous relationship. So, you know, these Uranus-Venus dynamics often don't last very long, but they serve some kind of purpose to help us evolve or take a next step forward as a person. So it's interesting, like when I do horary charts, you know, people come in and they say, is this relationship going to last, or will we get together, or something like that? And a lot of the times the answer is no, it won't last, but that doesn't mean it doesn't serve a purpose. So it's kind of a funny thing, you know, it's like, I almost don't want to answer no, the relationship won't last, because then sometimes people think, oh, I ought to just get out of it right away then. Like, well, how many relationships in your life haven't last stood the test of time, but served a really important purpose? I think, for example, of, obviously my whole life, I feel like I was waiting to find my wife, you know, but there were a few relationships that I feel like, you know, like, thank God, because I can't see how my wife ever would have liked me if I hadn't learned how to grow up in some of the other relationships, you know? So, you know, relationships serve a purpose, even if they are just flashes, or they have a little bit of that fool's gold in them. So fast, bubbly, you know, connections, and any kind of really relational connection that comes in and serves some kind of quick, rapid evolutionary purpose. So that's one story that I've heard a bunch. Number two, I wrote rebellion or conflict over the way that something should be handled. Now, this is a big one. I've actually seen, like, you know, what do you call them? Lawsuits and people suing one another and people having to go to, you know, the HR department and, you know, public relations debacles. Basically, what it boils down to is that Venus is trying to keep the peace. And when it hits Uranus, there's sometimes, you know, it's like someone decides to moon their boss as a joke, but then it, you know, then why someone would do that? That's crazy. But like, let's just say that you decided to moon your boss as a joke, but then your boss decided that it wasn't a joke, that it was sexual harassment. And then you were going, yeah, I guess it is sexual harassment, but wait, that wasn't my intention. That jerk, why would they think that that was my intention? Do anything like this, you probably should be sued. But anyway, so let's just say that you have some kind of conflict that basically has to do with something you shouldn't have done or said, or that was embarrassing, or that was, you know, like a big faux pas, and then it creates a big conflict. So almost like, you know, any time that people are like, well, that should have been done differently, or that should have been handled differently, and now I want to fight with you about it, or now I want to sue you, or now I'm quitting, or now you're getting fired, or, you know, something like that. Even, you know, someone who says something like, I don't like the way the school handled my child, I'm taking my child out of the school, because the child was, I don't know what, they got scolded for drawing, a gay unicorn or something. And I don't know what they would do. I'm thinking of like the most horrendous things that people could do, but yeah. So like, anything, and you can hear in my talk today, the irreverence of Venus Uranus, I guess. So, you know, anything where it's, you can think of where it's like, you shouldn't have done that, or someone, maybe even someone saying that you shouldn't have done something when you really should. It was your right to do something, right? So anyway, rebellion or conflicts over the way that something should have been handled, almost like Venus is getting charged with disturbance of the peace. Venus? Well, I'm the goddess of everything pleasant and harmonious. And, you know, so anything that could be considered like, inappropriate, like an inappropriate Venusian, well, you made a choice that offends the goddess type of thing, right? Okay. Number three, significant changes of diet, health, lifestyle, or appearance. I have another one that kind of goes along with this later, but a little bit different. But number three, when you suddenly go, well, the way that I take care of myself, the way that I look, the way that I live, the way that I eat, you know, anything that has something to do with beauty or appearance or lifestyle or health or wellness, well, all of which Venus has some relationship with. I mean, the moon was typically more associated with the body than Venus was. But anything that would have to do with well-being or appearance or health or harmony of the body, I'm going to have a healthier, happier me, that kind of thing. I've seen people go through significant changes of diet, health, lifestyle, or appearance more times than I can count. All right. So number four, sexual breakthroughs. This is pretty common. Where a relationship that's having some kind of stagnation around sex or intimacy will suddenly, you know, rekindle or refan the spark back into a fire. So it's not at all unusual to see people who have been like, oh man, I haven't gotten laid forever, right? And I'm just single and I'm just so needing physical contact. You know, when am I going to meet someone that's like, you know, I remember one time I was talking to a client. And this woman was like, I'm just so sick of being single. And I'm so sick of like not getting, you know, laid basically. And she was like, I'm just waiting. You know, it's just like, I can't find the right partner. I was like, well, you know, with Venus Uranus, consider the idea that they don't have to be perfect. Maybe they just have to be safe and fun, something like that. So anyway, this person ended up writing back to me and being like, I connected with someone and it was safe and fun and it didn't last, but it served a purpose. Back to that first one, flash in the pan, but serves a purpose. Similarly, you can have some kind of sexual revolution or breakthrough when Venus and Uranus get together. Okay, number five. This one's a sad one, breakups. It's probably one of the most unfortunate, common Venus-Uranus dynamics is people suddenly saying, I'd rather be independent. I'd rather be alone. I'd rather be dating someone else. I'd rather be free to experiment or explore. So breakups are pretty common. So that's probably the biggest bummer of Venus-Uranus's Venus-Uranus transits, that you'll see, breakups pretty consistently. All right, going on. Number six, doing or saying something provocative. This kind of goes back to that rebellion or conflicts over the way something should be handled. But this is more of like, I'm going to do what I want. I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm going to do what I want. So that's a very Venus-Uranus dynamic. But it often comes with I'm going to, dress up like Rocky Horror Picture Show in the middle of, January, nowhere close to Halloween, just to, be provocative and fun and funny and or whatever. Or it doesn't necessarily have to be something that's intended to provoke as much as it is that other people are provoked by some kind of fashion statement or unusual or eccentric way of dressing compared to the status quo. I'm certainly not saying that, there were people in my high school, right? And I would bet money that some of the people in high school that I was most like bothered by in the way that they dressed, like this was when I feel like goth was sort of becoming more like common. And I would be like, well, they're just trying to provoke someone. And I was like, well, maybe, I look at Heinz, I'm like, maybe you were just easily provoked and they were just making an interesting fashion choice. maybe you were the one who was, disturbed. And I was like, oh, they're sort of disturbed. They're disturbing others. Well, maybe I was just disturbed because people had fashion choices that were outside of the box compared to what I was doing at the time, which I'm pretty sure was like, pretty boring, so I still am boring. So at any rate, doing or saying something provocative, wearing something provocative, I don't care what people think, or experiencing other people that feel provoked or that think you're different or unusual because you have a taste or a style that isn't somehow status quo. So all of those dynamics, right, could be a part of it. Number seven, experimenting with health, beauty, and the body. Now, the earlier one I talked about significant changes of diet, health, lifestyle, or appearance. That's like, I almost feel like it's when someone's like a little different here. This is when they're like, I'm going to cryotherapy, which I did over the summer, which is interesting. And Uranus is kind of coming close-ish to natal Venus in my birth chart right now. So it's interesting. I'm going to go experiment with, I'm going to go get my genetics tested or, people that start experimenting with medical science or with like beauty products, or maybe they get like, breast augmentation or something like that. So any kind of like experimental or like, I'm going to take anti-aging pills or, something like this, anything, and now can get a little Frankenstein too, where, experiments with technology and progress in the future and youthfulness and the fountain of youth and wanting to live forever. And then, person gets some kind of procedure done and they end up not looking quite right any longer. All of these can be Venus Uranus, where Venus Uranus can actually sort of represent like progress and technology and with regard to like health or beauty or the body, but it can also represent like disfiguring or, making the body somehow weird or like perverse or something. So at any rate, this idea of experimenting with health, beauty, and the body, seen that a lot with Venus Uranus. Number eight, again, sort of playing off of some of the things we've already said, disruptions within a social setting. I mean, this is a little bit more like, someone who, the worst case scenario, of course, is like when someone goes off violently in a place that should be peaceful, like a grocery store or a public place, that's like a park or something. Like Venus is the peace and Uranus disturbs the peace. So you think about disruptions to the peace. Sometimes you'll see this also like someone wanting to vandalize things or like disfigure or destroy things that are like art or statues or things that are held to be valuable by someone else. So it's a similar thing. Like, you know, if someone earlier was talking about people wanting to be provocative, like there's something about wanting to provoke, like, let me shatter your little image of what's nice or beautiful. Right. But similarly, sometimes people will literally like vandalize, you know, like they'll steal or like destroy a piece of art or something like that. So at any rate, disruptions within social settings that disturb the peace, those can be, let's say you're playing Trivial Pursuit and, you know, someone gets angry and throws their wine glass into the fireplace. So that could be a Venus Uranus dynamic. Oh, having fun with this one today. Okay. So number 9 would be anything related to, sexual or identity or gender categories and changes or, prejudice that a person experiences, or maybe they're going through a transition, or maybe they're coming out of the closet, or, you know, anything that could pertain to being made to feel like an outsider or making a choice that's clearly different, again, like fashion, but this time in terms of like sexual identity or something like that. So I've worked with a number of, like, for example, not long ago, I had a client who has a, child that is transitioning, and it showed up as Uranus opposing Venus in their fifth house, house of children. So that was an interesting expression to me. And I've seen similar things many times, actually, previous to that. Also people when, you know, Venus Uranus dynamic in their chart, you know, and maybe they're gay and they, you know, it's like their life really changed when they told their parents about it, or they came out in high school or something like that. Okay, so anything related to sex, identity, gender, changes, shifts, and, you know, the social feedback that they get, positive or negative. And then number 10, the theme of women needing further independence or women choosing to go against the grain. What's interesting is that this can go in a number of different directions. I've seen many, actually, Uranus, Venus dynamics in women's charts where women who have been splitting their time between, say, work and child rearing will suddenly say, you know what, I'm done with working. I'm just going to be a mom. And I'm done with the narrative that you're only like this strong, independent woman if you're both working and child rearing. And I just want to try, I just want to raise my children. So they do that. And that can be just as Venus Uranus as the opposite way around, which I've probably seen an equal amount of times, honestly, at this point, which is, you know what, I'm not going to lose my identity just because I became a mom. I'm going to go back to work, or I'm going to stay working or something like that. I'm going to get some help with childcare. Or maybe, you know, maybe dad's going to stay home or do more of the child rearing or whatever. So at any rate, the theme of women, independence, feminism, women making strong choices in ways that, you know, like, how am I identifying as a woman? Those kinds of things seem to come up pretty strongly with Uranus and Venus. So in fact, you know, my wife is a double Taurus. So lots of Venus-y Venus stuff going on, right? With Taurus obviously being the sign of Venus. And when Uranus went over her sun and moon in Taurus, because she's a double sun, moon, Taurus. So, and when they went over sun, moon, Taurus, that's when she decided to close our yoga studio and entered Taurus, and she started to decide to close the yoga studio and spend more time on herbalism part-time and being a mom. So it was exactly that, you know, for my wife, where there was a big choice. It had to do with, you know, her and her girlfriends talking a lot and kind of talking with other moms and figuring out what does it mean for me to be independent and myself, and also, you know, a mom and a wife and all this stuff. So, you know, it can go a lot of different ways, but women having to make choices about what constitutes their own femininity, that's a very strong part of a Uranus Venus dynamic. And you'll also see any general themes related to women, the goddess, the feminine, coming up. But it can also be, you know, the feminine, in a sense, in ancient astrology, from a metaphysical standpoint, is not gender or sex specific. It's really about, for example, the relational department of our lives, which was broadly considered feminine for every soul. You know, in the Bhakti tradition, for example, all of creation is feminine, and all the many, we're part of, if God is one and God is many, then the trees and the birds and the people and the sexes and the genders and the all of the multiplicity is actually all considered feminine. Whereas the sort of undifferentiated singular oneness or source that it all comes from was the only thing that was actually considered masculine within the metaphysics, which is interesting because when we think of masculine category, we're not often thinking of it as actually a part of the realm that is all inherently sort of yin or feminine from the ancient metaphysical standpoint. Not that you have to agree with any of that. It's just an interesting thing to think about. So at any rate, Uranus, Venus can have something to do with women, but it can also, broadly speaking, address relationships of all kinds and the ways in which we work in and through relationships and different identity categories within all the different kinds of relationships that we have. So that was 10 stories that I've heard 10 times or more about Uranus Venus transits. I hope you found this interesting today. Please don't forget to share your stories. Put hashtag grabbed and tell us about how the planets are showing up in your life with Venus opposite Uranus this week, especially. I'd love to hear your stories. Or Mercury square Pluto. What are you guys seeing from that transit as well? These are, you know, really powerful transits. So I'm hoping to put together a really nice episode next week where I can share your stories again. Tomorrow, to close out our week, we will be revisiting Mercury and Pluto one more time. So it's just been all transits this week. And you can feel free to use the hashtag and leave a story about Mercury and Pluto as well. Remember, the planets were called grahas, which means grabbers, seizers. And so we think about them as sometimes like just grabbing our lives and being like, hey, you know, and when they grab us, it's a lot of the times it's because we're unconscious. And so, you know, but whether we are or not is not the point. It's just interesting to see that the way they show up and then to reflect on them, because the word can also mean to grasp or to understand. So we want to try to understand them. So sharing our stories is a way that we have of reflecting upon the planets. That's what astrology is really for at the end of the day. Anyway, I hope that this has been fun for you, like I said, and I hope you guys check out the course, nightlightastrology.com. First year course starting soon. Hope to see some of you guys there. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.